I recently did some investigative work and did some research on some popular sayings. Many of you have probably heard the saying, don't look the gift horse in its mouth, right? Part of that saying actually comes from a horse and its gum line. An older horse, so I hear, I'm not an expert on horses, had a receding gum line. You could tell the age of the horse from looking at its gum line. Then, perhaps, don't let the cat out of the bag, or let the cat out of the bag, right? You've heard that before? Yes? Yes, okay, good, good, good. I just want to make sure that you all get around, you know. So, that actually comes from the idea that people would sell piglets in bags, right? And so, scam artists would sometimes put cats or kittens in the bag instead of pigs, so you would get home and you would be expecting to raise a pig and you would find a cat. Nothing against cats, but if you're expecting a pig, that is a fortune, a poor disappointment. So I began to think about all these sayings, and while it's nice to know that, and it might make you perhaps a little bit more interesting at cocktail parties to know that, that is not the point of at least my sermon today. I'm thinking about it because we sometimes read Bible passages that way, right? In the sense of we don't really know the meaning behind them, the context. They just become a part of who we are, and they're quoted sometimes all the time. Many of us have heard the King James Version listed in this, and render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and render unto God the things that are God's. Many of us, especially in America, have used that passage in a sense to navigate our way between the separation of church and state. Right? We give our taxes and we keep things separate in our mind. Perhaps even maybe some of us may go as far to be, well, we'll render to God the things on Sunday, but then Monday through Saturday, well, that's Caesar's time or the emperor's time. But I don't think that exactly is what Jesus was talking about. And I know you may find this hard to believe, but sometimes we read Scripture and the church gets it wrong. No, I know. It happens, believe me. And I think this is one of those instances. Like the gift horse and the cat in the bag, I think we also need to examine the context of this passage. Because to me, it enlightens things a lot. Now, if we could zoom out a little bit from the passage and we can get the context of where it is in the sense of the Gospel of Matthew. Again, this is not Jesus preaching on the hillside outside of Jerusalem. This is in Jerusalem. We are approaching or in the middle of Holy Week. Jesus has just overturned the money changers' tables. Why were there money changers in the temple? Well, because you could not bring Roman money into the temple. Because it had the emperor's impression on it, a picture of the emperor. And more importantly than that, inscribed on this money, it said, Caesar, son of God. Now, the Pharisees and the temple officials saw this as blasphemy. So they went to great works to try to exchange money. And Jesus was, of course, upset because that was being taken advantage of. So Jesus, fresh of turning over the money changers' tables, of course, is causing a little bit of ruckus. So these Pharisees, of course, are upset. Upset is what is happening, and religious people can get upset when things change. So they get together with the Herodians. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Herodians, Herodians and Pharisees were natural enemies. The Herodians were for Herod. And Herod was not really looked upon too great by the Pharisees. It's kind of an understatement. In a sense, just to put it maybe in our modern context, it would be like, oh, I don't know, five former presidents from different political parties uniting against a common enemy. Something like that. In a sense, Republicans and Democrats coming together for something. So these Herodians and these Pharisees, they come to Jesus with the intent to entrap him, right? They are trying to set a trap for him. So they go to Jesus and they ask a tricky question, thinking they've got him. Because in a sense, in their mind, there is no right answer. Either you're going to be for the emperor, or you're going to be for God. And Jesus is pretty clever. And many have read this in the sense of it's just a clever way that Jesus is being Jesus and able to escape the question. But I think it is far more profound than that. Remember those money changers? And how coins from the emperor were not allowed in? We don't know this for a fact, but I'm pretty sure that Jesus was in the temple at this time. So Jesus asked, show me one of those coins from the empire. And I imagine those disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians reaching into their pockets and pulling out one of those coins from the emperor. Which is possibly why he calls them hypocrites. Here they are doing this elaborate system in order to make things right and to have order and to live within God, but carrying around the emperor's money in their pockets. And then Jesus says something even more profound. Render unto the emperor the things that are emperor, render to God the things that are God's. It has nothing to do, in my mind at least, with the separation of church and state. And you may find this hard to believe, but Jesus wasn't an American and had no idea of the separation of church and state. In fact, what he's talking about here, rendering unto God the things that are God, what is God's? Everything. If we go back to the book of Genesis, God made everything. Every molecule and atom of who we are, even our hard work, everything is a gift from God. So just like the emperor's stamp was on that coin, so God has stamped each one of us with the image of God. And just perhaps maybe that's what Jesus was talking about. You hypocrites. You do all these things to make order and to keep people right and to keep people out of the temple and take advantage of people. And you can't even see the image of God that is on each one of us. The image of God that the people that Jesus hung out with, the image of God on those prostitutes, on those tax collectors, on those sinners, on those outcasts. The image of God. Stamped on each one of them, as plain as day as it is on that coin that they produced, yet we can't see it. And reading the passage that way actually made me squirm a little bit. Because I think I'm a little bit more like the Pharisees and the Herodians than what I like to admit. It's hard for me sometimes to see the image of God in the people that I come across. Perhaps in that homeless person on the street. Perhaps in that DMV worker. Perhaps in just the people that cause me the most difficult. There's always that annoying person in the office, and if you don't know who that is, you're probably that person. To see the image of God in that person. Perhaps that's what Jesus was talking about. And I wonder, as those Pharisees and the Herodians walk away, I wonder if they understood what Jesus was talking about. I wonder if they got it. Or perhaps they just thought he was clever and was able to weasel his way out of that one. The trap they had set wasn't as successful as they thought. Who knows? I know we struggle with it over 2,000 years later. We, in a sense, like to read it like it was a saying that we didn't understand. We perhaps struggle to live into it. Because, brothers and sisters, it's real easy in some ways to separate that into church and state and give to God the things that are God and give to the emperor the things that are emperor. But it's downright hard to see the image of God in every single person that we meet. So perhaps I've let the cat out of the bag a little bit. And we in our life can begin to see each other a little bit differently. To see the image of God stamped on every single person we meet.